You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
The foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word.
Faith, hope, love. These three characteristics picture an important trinity for the Christian life. And that's what Dr. McGee tells us in our study on Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'm so glad that you're on the Bible bus with us. I love how Dr. McGee describes faith as something based on past historical fact, love as something we experience and express in the present, and hope as tied to the coming of Jesus Christ in the hopefully near future. Our study begins in Colossians 1, verse 2, so why don't you turn there now as we ask God for his help in understanding his word. Father, thank you for your promise that a heart that seeks you finds you. We ask that you would guide us as we study your word and then show us what you know we each need. We ask this through your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get to our study in Colossians 1 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we pick up our study today, friends, in Colossians, the first chapter, and we'll put in again today at verse 2, as we did not finish that last time. I hope that you have your Bible open for this passage of Scripture and have before you our notes and outlines. You'll find it will make this study more meaningful to you. Now we are in this introduction to the epistle to the Colossians. Now we find here Paul putting down his almost a stereotyped introduction as you find it in some of his other epistles. And he addresses it to the saints, and as we said before, these saints are those that are set aside to God. He's not differentiating between saints and faithful here at all. And faithful means they're believing brethren, and believing brethren are faithful brethren. And they're in Christ, and we have gone into that several times, and I bypass that for the time being, for the emphasis here is upon the person of Christ, which are at Colossae. And it's important that we have an address down here, but we ought to have an address up yonder also, in Christ. Now he uses this very formal introduction, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you must know the grace of God to experience the peace of God, by the way. Now, he says it's from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, actually, in the better manuscripts, and our Lord Jesus Christ is not there. And that, my friend, is very important to see. Because you see, the heresy that Paul was counteracting was Gnosticism, first heresy in the church. And this was the Essene branch of it. And they relegated God to a place far removed from man. You had to go through emanations to get to God. And have you ever noticed that all heathen religion and most of the cults like that, they have some sort of an open sesame before you can get into God? Well, may I say to you that Paul makes it very clear here that this is directly from God, our Father. And we can come directly to him, by the way. And in verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We go directly to God. You don't have to go through any form of emanation at all. If you are in Christ Jesus, we have access. That's one of the benefits of being justified by faith, is access to God. And it's through our Lord Jesus Christ, as he makes it very clear here. And he says, praying always for you. Now, if you were making a prayer list of the Apostle Paul, put down the Colossians. He always prayed for them. They were on his prayer list. Now he said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Now, I would emphasize that in a very particular way here. He's going to talk about the good points of these folk. And he puts together here, if you'll notice, faith and love, and hope. And if you notice that, hope is in verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, and whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And may I say it, the truth of the gospel means the content of the gospel, the great truths that pertain to the gospel of the grace of God, by the way. Now, you'll notice something, I think, here very important to see. Paul's talking now about their good points, and rightly so. They had faith toward God, and that is, by the way, for the past. Faith rests upon historical facts. God has a shut up to a cross, and it's to believe God. You see, you haven't heard the gospel unless you've heard something to believe, not something to do, something to believe. It's what he did for you and me 1900 years ago. Now, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's not a leap in the dark. It's a resting upon historical facts, and it's believing God. Now, that's for the past, but there's love for the present. And you notice he speaks here of that, and your love which you have to all the saints. And my friend, it's almost, I think, nonsense today to talk about how fundamental we are and then to spend your time crucifying the brethren, attempting to find fault with them, attempting to call them something less than you are because you are a wonderful saint and they just have not measured up to your high standard and they're not separated like you are separated. My friend, the world today is not interested in that approach. The world would like to know whether you love each other or not. And the hypocrisy today of fundamentalism is it loves to knock the brains out of some brother and shows very little love in many places. Now, there are many men I disagree with about one thing and another. I can't expect them all to be perfect, of course. So I should bear with them, therefore, and pray for them. And I asked a man that, he came to me to criticize one of the leaders today, and I don't agree with that leader on many of the things that he does, but boy, the Spirit of God's using him in a mighty way. And I asked him, I said, do you ever pray for him? Well, he says, of course not. Well, I said, I think you ought to. I think you ought to pray for him. God is using him. The Spirit of God is using him. And friends, these Colossians, they had some good points, and they had faith toward God. They were sound in the faith. They were fundamental, but they had love for the brethren, and that's important. And that is for the present, you see. Now, there's hope for the future here. Paul puts these three graces together for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. And I'd like for you to notice a little thing. Over in the 13th of 1 Corinthians, he lists these three there, but he lists them a little different. Now abideth, faith, hope, love. These three. He puts hope second, love last. Why? Because love's the only thing going to abide. It's the only thing, it's not only for the present, it's going to make it into eternity. So we need to begin to exhibit that down here upon this earth. How wonderful this is. Now he says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, and that hope is the blessed hope, looking for the coming of Christ, and we're to love his appearing also. Whereof he says, ye heard before in the word of the content of the gospel. Now, the gospel is a simple gospel. It's true. And you're asked to believe. You're asked to believe certain facts. But there are a lot of facts that are connected with the gospel. He's virgin born. He performed miracles. He's the God-man. And he died on a cross. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended back into heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit into the world on the day of Pentecost to form the church. And he's sitting today at God's right hand. Now that position is given to us because of the fact that our redemption is completed. And we are asked today to enter into that rest that he offers to those that will come to him. But he has a present ministry of intercession for us, and I think other ministries. And then he's going to come again. And that is all part of the glorious gospel, the content of the gospel, as Paul puts it here. Now he says, which is come unto you as it is in all the world. Now, that's a very strong statement. Dr. Vincent, a great expositor of the Epistle to the Colossians as well as others, he believes it's hyperbole. And I'll be honest with you, I had difficulty accepting that. You mean to tell me, Paul, that the gospel at this particular time when you were in prison in Rome had reached the world? That's what Paul said. And I take it that we take it literally. And I believe Paul means what he said. And you know, I did not realize the accuracy of this until I stood in Turkey at the city of Sardis. They dug up part of that Roman road that was there. And that's the road Paul came down out of the Galatian country on the way to Ephesus. And there for 3 years the gospel sounded out and people were there from all over the Roman Empire. And already it had gone ahead to Rome, and Paul had not gone there until he was taken there as a prisoner. And the gospel was being preached throughout the Roman Empire. And the world, here's the word cosmos, and it just simply means the Roman Empire of that day. And it means that the gospel at this time had penetrated into the farthest reaches of the Roman Empire. It had crossed over to Great Britain. It had crossed over to other places. Every part of the Roman world had heard the gospel at this particular time. I tell you, friends, those early apostles were on the move, and I find it rather reluctant to try to criticize them. And he says here, it's coming to all the world, the Roman world, and it bringeth forth fruit. And where the gospel is preached, it'll bring forth fruit. Where the word of God is given out, the content of the gospel is given out, it'll bring forth fruit. That's what he said. And it will. And by the way, I must confess, my faith was weak even on radio. I determined to give out the word, but I'll be honest with you, I expected to fall on my face and see great failure. And you know, the biggest surprise of my life is God blessed his word. Was I surprised? I thought he'd let me down, but he didn't. He said he'd bless his word. Count on him, friends. It bringeth forth fruit. As it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God and truth. And I'm overwhelmed today by the letters and the people I meet that say they were brought to Christ through this weak radio ministry of ours that is a Mickey Mouse operation if there ever was one. But God blesses his word. And I just don't only believe it, I know it. I'm not even prepared to argue that with anybody today. Somebody comes along and says to me, I don't believe the Bible's the Word of God. I said, you don't? And they said, well, don't you want to argue? I said, no. They said, why? I said, because I know it's the Word of God. I don't believe it. I know it. Suppose somebody comes to me and says, now, McGee, I want to argue with you whether you love your wife or not. I can give you several philosophical arguments that'll show that you don't love your wife. And you know that fellow might out-argue me. And he might whip me down intellectually. And if he did, and if he showed by logic and all types of argument that I don't love my wife, you know what I would say? I'd say, brother, I don't know about those arguments, but I want you to know one thing. I love my wife. I love my wife. I know that, you see. And I do not need these cogent, sophisticated, astute, esoteric arguments. There's some things we can know, friends, and we ought not to let what we don't know upset what we do know. And that's important for us to see today. Therefore, he says here, it bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God and truth. Say, this is wonderful, is it not? Now he says, as ye also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. Now, Epaphras apparently was the leader of the pastor of the church there in Colossae. Epaphras sounds like a medicine to me, but nevertheless, that's the name of the fellow. And he says he's our dear fellow servant. Have you noticed how graciously Paul could talk about other servants of God? Those that were preaching the word of God, Paul had something good to say about them. But when he found a rascal, he was just like our Lord. He would really move in and he'd say what he thought about them. The Lord Jesus, oh, he was so merciful to sinners. That woman taken in adultery, she should have been stoned to death. And notice how gracious our Lord was. And then there is that arrogant Pharisee that came to the Lord Jesus and attempted to pass a compliment. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. We Pharisees, and when we know it, brother, that's it. Lord Jesus, oh, so gently and graciously pulled him down off of his high horse. And when he got through with him, he was dealing with him as plain little old Nicky. Little old Nicodemus trying to be somebody. And he's nothing in the world but just a religious robot. That's all. Going through rituals. And the Lord Jesus brought him down where he could say, how can these things be? And then the Lord Jesus let him see the cross. How gracious he was in dealing with folk like that. And Paul is so gracious to these. Now will you notice, who also declare unto us your love in the Spirit. Now you're going to find there'll be no great emphasis in this epistle on the Holy Spirit. And what he's making clear to them, that they would not be able to exhibit this love unless it was by the Holy Spirit. He says elsewhere, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and that is very important for us to see. And here, Paul will not dwell on that aspect. He's going to dwell on the person of Christ, and when he does, then the Holy Spirit will take the things of Christ and show them unto us. That's the important thing to see. And now we're coming to that. By the way, we're past the introduction now, and we have Paul's prayer for these. And here is one of the most wonderful prayers in the Scripture. And this is a prayer that I think touches all the bases. And you'll notice what Paul prays for here. The interesting thing is that today we find people praying for these things. And Paul makes it clear that we already have these things. I've heard prayers like this. Dr. Ironside puts it like this. He says, we pray thee, forgive us our sins and wash us in the blood of Jesus. Receive us into thy kingdom. Give us of thy Holy Spirit and save us at last for Christ's sake. Amen. And did you know that God has already answered every one of those petitions already? God has forgiven us all of our trespasses. We are cleansed by the blood of Christ. He's already translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And he sealed us with his Holy Spirit. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And he saved us eternally from the moment we believe the gospel. Therefore, we might, I think, rather thank him instead of petitioning him here. Instead of saying, we ask you to do this, we thank you that you've already done it. And now listen to Paul here in this wonderful prayer that he prays. He says, for this cause, now this is verse 9 of chapter 1 of Colossians, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, this is great. This is the first thing. He prayed that they might be filled with the knowledge here. And that is epigenosis. Now, you see, these people, the heretics there, were the Gnostics. They pretended to have a super knowledge. And Paul says here, I pray that you might be filled with the knowledge, that you might have a super knowledge. The Gnostics boasted they had it. And Paul here confines this knowledge, though, of the will of God. And it must be in wisdom and spiritual wisdom and understanding. And now wisdom will occur 40 times in this epistle. We'll call attention to it again when we get to it. Now will you notice verse 10? Here's the second thing he mentions. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That is, pleasing to God. And that means that we're not going to be bowing down to men or attempt to please them. And then the third thing, being fruitful in every good work. That is, a Christian is a fruit-bearing branch, you see. We should bring forth fruit. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, a Christian should not be static, but alive and growing in the Word of God. How important that is. Now, let me keep moving right along. In verse 11, we have here the fifth thing. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And strength and power can only come from God. And they are produced by the Holy Spirit in patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. Strengthened with all might. And it's unto all patience, you notice. And long-suffering with joyfulness. How wonderful. Verse 12. And now we come here for what he gives thanks for. Giving thanks now. And all our prayer should be filled with thanksgiving. Notice what he says. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now God, by his grace, has given us an inheritance with the saints in light. And we ought today to lay hold to that. Believe God. And here the second thing is, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We've been delivered from the kingdom of Satan. We were dead in trespasses and sins, going according to the world. And now we've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And by the way, this is the present aspect of the kingdom of God here on earth today. The only place that you can have the kingdom of God here on earth, you can't build it. The only way in the world you can have it is open your heart and receive Christ as your Savior, and you've been translated into that kingdom yourself. This is a very wonderful thing, and we're told here, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now this, again, is a very wonderful thing. That we've been translated, we have forgiveness. And that is always, as we've said before, associated with the blood of Christ. God does not arbitrarily and sentimentally forgive sin. And redemption here means he paid a price and delivered us out of slavery. And we have these five wonderful things, and yet there are a great many people praying for all of these things today. My friend, they're yours. Why don't you thank him for them? That is the proper attitude of a believer today. We'll have to leave right off there, but now next time, we're going to look at the person of Jesus Christ. Remembering the Song of Solomon, we talked about him, but now we're going to really come in close and see actually the theology of it all. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
As we continue our study of Colossians, Dr. McGee promised that we'll study the theology of Christ, which is just another way to say that we're going to take a closer look at who Jesus Christ is, what he's like, and what we can know about his person and purposes. Have a friend download our app to join us, won't you? Or to give the gift of Dr. McGee's entire 5-year study of every book of the Bible, you can check out our Bible Bus flash drive at ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE to place your order. Now, another resource to help you deepen your study of God's Word is our terrific ministry newsletter that highlights extra teaching from Dr. McGee and then gives deeper insight into Through the Bible's global ministry. Again, these resources and so many more are available by visiting ttb.org or calling 1-800-65-BIBLE. You can also send your request to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. Or in Canada, it's Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. As we go, I'm Steve Schwetz, praying that God blesses and keeps you until we meet again.
Jesus,
the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world, and we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's word go today?
Listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opportunity today to, wherever you are, to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit and hearing the unadulterated Word of God. We thank the Lord for your listening ears and everything that you're doing, members that are in the body of Christ, and even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Your opportunity is still available as long as you have breath to breathe this air that God has allowed you to breathe. Praise God. We love you and we thank God for you. Well, today we want to talk about the kingdom of God. Many people at some point have forgotten that the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. Apostle Paul spoke about the kingdom of God. And I'm speaking this morning, praise the Lord, about the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is not just in word only. Now I want you to get a hold of what I'm talking about. It's not in just word only. The kingdom of God is in power. Glory to God. I said power. Praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The power. Glory to God. And I tell you, when we demonstrate this power, praise God, because first of all, Jesus has told us, glory to God, that the power resonates on the inside of us as children of God. My body, praise the Lord. And I want you to grab this before we go further into this message here this morning, is that the Bible tells us that our bodies are the temple of God. So if your body is the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you, praise God. Do you realize what I'm saying? The Spirit of God dwells or live on the inside of you. The Spirit of God is power. Praise God. And this is why we allow the Spirit of God to direct everything that we're doing. We submit ourselves to His leadership. Praise God. Because the Spirit of God is power in our lives. And when we pray for folks that are sick, who's on the inside of us becomes an external expression in power, not just in word, praise God, and bring forth deliverance or healing in the lives of the people. Praise God, because we don't depend on our ability or our strength. We depend on who is on the inside of us. Glory to God. I remember Jesus saying, well, it is not I, but it's the Father that does the work. Praise God. I'm saying here this morning that it's not me, but it's the Spirit of the living God that dwells on the inside of me. Praise God. When I pray for folks, lay hands on those that are sick, decrepit, whatever the problems may be, I want to tell you, I believe that the work is done. Glory to God. I said, I believe that the work is done, because the power of God, the kingdom of God, is on the inside of me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember when Jesus was casting out devils. Praise God. A lot of folks don't want to hear about devils, but I want to tell you, there's one devil, but there are a host of demonic spirits. So what happened is that Jesus was casting out devils, and what happened is that they couldn't believe, and they were saying that, well, he was casting out devils by the prince of the devils, Beelzebub. But I want to tell you, they blaspheme God. But I want to say this here this morning, that when Jesus spoke, he said, if I cast out demons or devils by the finger of God, glory to his wonderful name, that must mean that the kingdom of God has come nigh you, up upon you. Praise God. I want to tell you, the kingdom of God is power. It's not just words. And many people say, well, yeah, well, I believe in the kingdom of God. Well, demonstrate that power that's on the inside of you. Glory to God. Let it be demonstrated. Apostle Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came in the demonstration, glory to God, of the Spirit and of power. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you if you are born again. Glory to God. And I want to tell you, and your body is God's temple, let there be a manifestation of external expression that will come from you, glory to God, on an outward deliverance and healing and whatever the Spirit wants to do, glory to God. It's an external expression because of the one that dwells on the inside of you. It is not you in the natural. It is the Spirit of God, glory to God, that is doing that work in and through you. Praise God. The kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You have, as a child of God, you have been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Glory to God. And you are now, as a born-again believer, you are in the kingdom of God. If you believe it and know who you are and by faith have received that, you are in the kingdom of God. Now the word of God tells us that. You've been translated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's where you are. And you're in a kingdom that resonate, that have power. I said power, glory to God. And in that kingdom, there is a king, glory to God. And his name is King Jesus, glory to God. Somebody out there right now in radio land should be shouting, that is King Jesus, glory to God. You're in his kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son, praise the Lord. And in that kingdom, there's power. I said there's power, praise God. And not just a kingdom in just words, but it's a kingdom in power. Praise the name of our God. Minister Gloria, listen, you know, we're talking about the kingdom of God, and I tell you, this is what God wants us. See, the word of God tells us that before you do anything, he's given us instruction. Praise God. Minister Gloria, you want to read that verse of scripture there in Matthew? Praise God.
Matthew 6, but I like to read the 25th verse first. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink,
glory to God,
nor yet for your body. On is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you are in need of all these things. But you see, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first. That's number one. Uno. The first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Praise God. Seek the kingdom first. And most folks, what they do is that they seek other things first before they seek the kingdom. But I want to tell you, whatever's going on in your life today, I want to tell you, seek the kingdom first. Praise God. Because there are many things that are operating in the and through the kingdom of God. And if we seek the kingdom first, as the word of God tells us, seek that kingdom first. And he said that he'll provide everything else. If I understand that scripture correctly, he says here to seek ye first, not second, nor third, but he says seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or perhaps seek the kingdom and his righteousness, or the way that God does things. Praise God. This is what we need to do, is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, and all other things will be added unto you. That means that when I seek the kingdom of God first, God's going to take care of the rest. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You see, because what we do is that we go around, we try to get everything else in order, and then say, well, now I've got all my ducks in a row, so now I'm going to seek the kingdom. But that's not what he said. He said, you do this first. Amen. You seek the kingdom first, the kingdom of God first, and then he says, and all these other things will be added unto you. Well, what are those things? My God, everything that was previously mentioned, he will add those things unto you. And not only that, give you a fruitful life. Praise God. Bless you abundantly. That's what he will do. Glory to God. Because we are depending on him and not on ourselves or our abilities in terms of what we are able to do. But I want to tell you, this kingdom that I'm speaking of, my God, is a kingdom of power. And there's so many places today, you know, there are folks that are sick inside the church. There are folks that need deliverance inside the fellowship. There are folks that need all kinds of problems inside the fellowship. And I want to tell you that that are in the body of Christ should know who we are in Christ, know what he has done for us on Calvary's cross, know that our body is God's temple and his spirit dwells on the inside of us. And I tell you, the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost should be demonstrated in our lives as children of God. My God, no wonder folks are leaving. They don't want to see all of this mundane and humdrum way of religion. They are looking for something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They're looking for signs, my God. And what's happening is that all they're seeing is some old stale operation that's going on where God is not there. But I want to tell you, through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, glory to God, we walk around, we declare that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us, then demonstrate. I want to say that again. Demonstrate this power. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said, demonstrate this power that's on the inside of you. Don't talk about the power, but demonstrate the power. Most of us go around and we say, well, yeah, the power is on the inside of me. Well, I want to tell you that Apostle Paul said that he didn't come with enticing words. We don't need to entice people. We need to demonstrate the power of the Spirit. Glory to God. I said, demonstrate the power of the Spirit. Glory to God. And if you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you, because that's where he would take up residence, your body would be his temple, and his Spirit is dwelling on the inside of you. Glory to God. And there will be a manifestation of an external expression. Glory to God. That's why when folks look at you, they see that there is something different about you. And when you pray for them, glory to God, they get blessed. Hallelujah. Not because of what you're doing, but because of the one that dwells on the inside of you. Praise the name of God. You know, Apostle Paul was telling us that the same Spirit, hallelujah. Are you listening to me out there in radio land? The same Spirit, hallelujah, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. I'm talking about resurrected power. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the glory of God. My Lord, my glory to God. Hallelujah. The same Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Glory to God. And I want to tell you, that power is the power of God. The power of God is on the inside of you. Everyone that is born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have the power of God operating in your life. And this is why we need to stop talking about power. We need to stop talking about the kingdom of God and demonstrate this kingdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The word of God tells us that the kingdom of God is not just words. It is power. Hallelujah. I said power, glory to the name of our God, among many other things. Hallelujah. And this is why when we demonstrate this kingdom that's on the inside of us, hallelujah. I said this kingdom that is on the inside of us, glory to God, the kingdom of God, glory to God, Mensa Gloria.
Right, in Romans 14:17 it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, anything fleshy, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Say that again.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Ooh, Lord, have mercy. The kingdom of God. Glory to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Oh my goodness. You know, folks going around there talking about the kingdom. I tell you, we all speak about the kingdom. We tell people that we are in the kingdom of God. We tell people that the Spirit of God on the inside of us. We say these things, but I want to tell you today that folks out there, not only in radio land, but folks that are sitting in fellowship, that's why the congregation is dwindling down, because they are tired of talk. We are talking about something that we don't possess. We are talking about power that's not on the inside of us. Are you listening to what I'm saying out there in Radio Land? Folks want to see something. I said folks want to see something. They don't want to just hear words. And all of us are guilty of it. My God, when we lay down at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in prayer and allow his anointing and his power to be demonstrated in and through us, glory to God, folks will begin to see the signs, hallelujah, that there's a real power that's demonstrated in and through you, glory to God. Many folks today are just looking at some old dead preacher in a dead church preaching a dead sermon. There's no life to it. But I want to tell you, this thing is supposed to, by the power of the living God, be demonstrated in our lives. I remember when I was growing up, folks used to say, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Glory to God. He's on the inside and he's working on the outside. Oh, what a God that we serve. I'm telling you, it's power. And all of us, we should be praying, saying, Lord, help us that your presence and your power and your anointing and everything that you represent that have taken place in our lives should be demonstrated so that folks can see that you have truly, number one, have called us. That's the first thing, that he has called us. Because whom God has called, he demonstrates his power through them. Now, that's what the word of God says. Now, you can look at Matthew 10, and you can see when Jesus called his disciples together, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and he commanded them, so you go. He didn't say, pray for the sick. He said, you go and you heal the sick. That's what he said. Don't take no purse. Oh, my God. All of us depend totally upon me because I'm going to make way for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I tell you today that we are depending upon ourselves. We try to prepare a script. We try and do all of these things here instead of depending on the Holy Spirit. All of us are guilty. I said all of us are guilty. There aren't any that's exonerated from what I'm talking about. We all are guilty. But the time is coming. And it's now where we, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, will sit at the feet of the Master. Listen to Hakabashakelebosha. Listen to his voice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen to the voice of Jesus. And say, Master, glory to God. Teach me more. Let your presence be manifested in and through me. Demonstrate your power. You are the king of this kingdom that I'm. My God, demonstrate your power through me. Praise God. And I tell you, many folks will see the signs. I said they will see the signs. Glory to God. Because that's what they're looking for. This is why people are running from one church to another. They're just hopping over from one church to another. They are looking for something. Glory to God. My Lord, they're looking for signs. They not only want to hear somebody saying, well, yeah, I got the power, but there's nothing demonstrated. I'm telling you, out there in Radio Land, we all are guilty. Let us lay at the feet of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to manifest himself in and through us. Glory to God, because you're in the kingdom of God. You're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We know who we are. We are children of the Most High God. We have the power of God operating on the inside of us, but we must let it be a manifestation. Many people are claiming the power is on the inside of them. Well, demonstrate that power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, demonstrate that power. My God, let that power be manifested through you. Praise God. It is not you that's doing the work. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. My body is the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of me. Let the Spirit of God be manifested so that the work can be done. Glory to God. So folks can be healed. Folks are sitting in churches confused, oppressed of the devil. But I want to tell you, it shouldn't be that way. There is power in the name of Jesus. Let the power of the Holy Ghost be demonstrated in your life. Glory to God. And in those that come for prayer, those that need healing. You can't heal anyone. It's the healers on the inside of you. Glory to God. You can't set nobody free. It's the one on the inside that sets folks free. Glory to God. Through the truth of his word. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Mr. Gloria. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for his power. Glory to God. I know who I am. And you should know who you are in the kingdom of God. The Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of us. Glory to God. I remember Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. And he told them, he said, listen. The king, they're looking for a sign. They're looking for the kingdom. See, natural eyes looking for a natural kingdom. But Jesus told them, said, my God, he didn't say my God, but Jesus told them, said, listen, the kingdom of God does not come by way of observation. In other words, you don't see this thing. There's a demonstration of this kingdom. Hallelujah. What he said, that the kingdom of God does not come by way of observation, but the kingdom of God is in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, when he said that, the Pharisees were looking for a natural kingdom, but there is no natural kingdom. This kingdom is not with observation. Praise God. And I still look at that verse of scripture where he told them that the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of God is within all of us that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because the word of God tells me that I've been translated. Glory to God. I'm in that kingdom and the kingdom is in me. Praise God. I said I'm in that kingdom. And that kingdom is on the inside of me. That kingdom is power. Praise God. Folks today are tired of just hearing lip service, organized sermons, all of this stuff that they do in their own ability instead of allowing the power of the Holy Ghost to be manifested in their lives. I say we all are guilty. Some folks go to the internet and get their sermons and give to the church. But I want to tell you, we must depend on the one that is on the inside of us. And that's the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He dwells on the inside of us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lay at the feet of Jesus. That's figurative language. Lay at his feet. Depend on him. And allow him to manifest himself in us. I tell you, we all are guilty. But today, after you heard what I said, you can, you have the opportunity to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to manifest his presence in and through us. Praise God. I thank you all out there in Radio Land for listening. And just remember what the Word of God says. As a born-again believer, you have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Until the next time, I pray for your safety and pray that you will hear the voice of God, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. God bless y'all until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. The number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.